So Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about so many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm sure many of us are anxious and distracted this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus on Jesus, who is our portion. Help us to hear from you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Life is busy, isn't it? Life is busy. There's always so much to do. With commitments at home, there's food to cook. There are bathrooms to clean if you clean your bathrooms. There's gardens to tend to if you've got a garden. There's walls to paint month by month, year by year, if you get round to it. With commitments at work, meetings to be had. There are jobs to be done. There are emails pinging on our phone every 5 minutes, and there's bills to pay. We have family commitments, parents or siblings to visit and keep in touch with, uncles and aunties and cousins and long-lost cousins, children to ferry about the place, different social events, birthday parties to organize and attend. We've got social commitments, friends to see and keep up with, birthdays to celebrate, weddings to attend, and of course, our social media profiles to update to show everyone how wonderful our lives are. And then we've got church commitments, chairs to stack at the end of each church service, Bible studies to attend, sermons to prepare, one-to-ones to prepare for, Sunday school to teach, music to be played, teas and coffees to be served, and of course, quiet times to be had each morning. Life is busy, isn't it? There's so much to do and so little time, and life is often led at breakneck pace. And as Christians, we're called to be conscientious and to use our time wisely and to serve. Time is short, the days are evil, and as we learn in the summer, we're to be like the ant, not like the sluggard. But often, we can go about serving or go about our tasks with the wrong attitude or heart posture. And that's what the story of Martha and Mary is all about and gets us to think about. This is a story that helps us think about the heart behind our service. It gets us to think about our heart posture. Service is important. Service is very important. But it needs to be done with the right attitudes. Some of us this morning are coming to church and we serve really, really hard, and yet we've lost our joy in it. The busyness of life has just sucked all the joy out of our service. Others of us this morning, we're a bit lazy. We don't see the point in serving and just do nothing. But this passage wants to give us a better way, show us a better way. Serving without sinking, zeal without burnout, joyful service. If the Good Samaritan teaches us about the importance of loving our neighbor, this story teaches us about the importance of serving with love, joy, and grace. So a couple of points this morning. Well, three. You know what I'm like. Got Martha's welcome, got Martha's problem, and got Martha's heart. So Martha's welcome. So Jesus is traveling around the place, teaching the villages and towns, and he's heading towards Jerusalem in Luke now, where he'll die on the cross and rise again. And he comes to a town, we're not sure which one, but probably Bethany, And he's welcomed into a woman's house called Martha. And Martha has a sister called Mary. And notice that Martha welcomes Jesus into her home. Martha is a woman who loves to show hospitality. You can imagine Martha in your head. She's got a penny on. She's got her hair done up in a knot. She's always got a mixing bowl in her hand. And she's always welcoming people over to eat. She's a server. She's a grafter. She's a worker. She's always doing something. She's always doing something. She's never sitting down. She's never watching EastEnders. She's always cleaning the house. She's always cooking a meal. She's always working on the accounts. She's always doing a pastoral visit. She's always down the markets or sorting out her husband or sorting out the kids or just generally running her house. She's memorized Proverbs 31 and she seeks to live up to the standards of the Proverbs 31 woman. There's no hint of laziness in her. She's no sluggard. She uses every single minute of every single day to serve the Lord and serve the people around her. And so when she hears that this great rabbi is in town, she's the first person to welcome this man over. She heads to the supermarkets the day before to get all the best ingredients, and she gets up at the crack of dawn to cook a nice meal. She flings open the door of her house to cook an extravagant feast for Jesus and his followers. Martha is a woman of service. Martha is a woman of hospitality. And Martha's doing a good thing here. Jesus calls us to be servants, doesn't he? And to follow his example of service. We are saved to serve. You're not saved to sit on your backside all day. You're saved to serve. Service, love, hospitality should be the marks of every Christian. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 12, 9 to 13. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. You hear that language from Paul? Love each other. Don't be slothful in your zeal. Seek to show hospitality. And that's what Martha is doing here. That's what we're called to do. In particular, hospitality is an amazing gift, isn't it? To be invited round to someone's house and to have food cooked for you and cleaned up after you is an amazing, amazing gift. That's what every Christian should be involved in doing where possible. The root of the word hospitality is the word hospital. Our houses should be the hospitals for the weak, the lost, the broken, the outsider, and the struggler. They should be places where Christ is present through our lives and our words. And then we offering up as an ointment that soothes people's weary souls. A lady called Rosaria Butterfield's written a book about this, and she says, our homes are not castles, but incubators and hospitals. That should be our houses. And Martha's doing a good thing in opening up her doors. The problem is, as we'll see later, is not her serving, but as I said, it's the attitude behind her service that is the problem. Now, while Martha is a grafter, Mary is more of an arty kind of person. She kind of floats through life. She's constantly reading or writing, or drawing. She loves to go into town and to listen to the rabbis. She loves to stop and she loves to speak to people. It's not that she doesn't care about serving, but she always finds herself doing other things. She's the kind of person who starts something and doesn't end up finishing it because she ends up having a deep conversation with someone along the way. Often while Martha is cooking, Mary is talking to the guests. And so when she hears that Jesus is in town, she cannot wait to hear from this great rabbi. She can't wait to hear from this extraordinary teacher. She wants to sit at Jesus' feet and she wants to listen to him. She doesn't care about the food. She just wants to feast on what is being taught. And that's exactly what happens in verse 39. We see the scene that Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his teaching. I love that phrase. She sits at Jesus' feet. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture of Jesus, the tender Son of God, teaching this woman who wouldn't usually be taught by rabbis because they weren't allowed, sitting at Jesus' feet and expounding the scriptures to her and teaching her all about the kingdom of God. And Mary just sat up there looking at Jesus, just drinking it all in. That's a great picture of discipleship right there. That's a picture of every Christian. That's how we all should come. We come to Jesus on our knees before his feet, and we never leave there. We come to sit at the feet of Jesus. We never leave his feet because we are disciples. He is our master. We are learners. He is our teacher. We're never greater than our master. We're always learning. We should always be sitting at the feet of Jesus. So the scene is set. Everything seems great. Martha is serving. She's cooking up a storm in the kitchen. Mary is sitting. She's drinking in the teaching of the master. Sounds like an idyllic little house on a prairie situation. But something is brewing in Martha's heart, and that takes us to the second thing, Martha's problem. I think we can all imagine the scene. Martha's been up at the crack of dawn, remember? She's got everything, she's cooked everything, she's busy serving, she's been grafting all day. And when Jesus turns up, he doesn't turn up at the appointed time, he turns up a little bit early, and things aren't ready still. She really could do with extra help in the kitchen. And while she's grafting, she looks over into the living room and sees Mary. And what's Mary doing? Mary's just sitting on her backside on some cushions, listening to Jesus' teaching. And you can probably imagine the thoughts in her heart, because you've all had them. She starts to think, can't Mary see that I need the extra help here? It's always me grafting in the kitchen. She's always sitting out there talking to people. Doesn't she know that we've got to get food on the table in 30 minutes? That lazy so-and-so, she never helps me out. Why always me? And as the voice in her head and her heart's going up, the noise in the kitchen goes up as well. She starts to bang with the pans. She's slamming the drawers. She's stomping around the kitchen. Angrier and angrier she's getting. And when no one pays attention to her banging away, she marches into the living room and she looks straight at Jesus and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her to get off her backside and come and help me. That's my translation. And Martha's complaint seems like a justified one, doesn't it? She's alone in the kitchen. She's serving everyone. She's busy. She needs help. And it looks like her sister and Jesus doesn't care. I wonder if you ever felt that in your life. I wonder if you ever felt that. You're working away, you're busy, things are getting overwhelming, and you start to feel sorry for yourself. Why always me? You think, those people in the church don't care about me. You think, I'm always on Sunday school. I'm always putting the chairs away. I'm always doing the teas and coffees. What about those lazy members who do absolutely nothing day to day? They should be helping me. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with Martha serving or Martha doing, but there is a problem with her attitude. It's possible to serve the Lord, but serve the Lord in a very unattractive way. To serve the Lord and not have any joy in it. To serve the Lord and look like you want to murder everybody. To serve the Lord and make it all about you. I mean, we've probably all been Martha at some point in our lives, serving away but doing it with a sour face, serving away but being a bit of a bossy boots, serving away but being impatient with people who don't give you a hand. Churches are full of Marthas, aren't they? The 20% of the membership who do 80% of the work. And the inner thought process is a real one, isn't it? Lord, do you not care? Lord, do you not see what I'm doing for you? How many of us have felt that? You're a single woman, and you graft, and you graft, and you graft, and you care for so many, and you think, does the Lord care? Does anyone care? Does anyone notice? What's the point? Or you're a mother and you're constantly doing school runs, preparing meals, cleaning after kids, serving others in the evening, and you think, does the Lord care? Does anyone care? Does anyone notice? Or you're in ministry and you spend your week preparing a Bible study and putting your heart and soul into it, and then two people from the church turn up and you think, does anyone care? Does the Lord care? What's the point? Sometimes the routine feels like it's a bit too much. It feels like you're the only one doing anything. The busyness never ends, and then you end up bitter and you end up angry and you can end up resentful. And you say in your heart, Lord, do you care? What's Martha's problem? Verse 40 tells us she's distracted. She's distracted. What does that mean? She's lost her focus. She'd forgotten why she is serving. In her duty, she had lost sight of Jesus. She had the Son of God in her house, and she got so caught up in the serving that she missed the person it was all about. Think about it like this way. It's like when you go out for coffee with your friend, and you're sitting, you've got your coffee, and you get your phone out, and you pull it face up right in front of you. And you're trying to have a deeper, meaningful conversation, but every 2 minutes, there's a ping coming through, and so you pick it up, you check the message, and you go back to the person in front of you. What's happening? You're not there in the room, are you? You're distracted. You're distracted by the phone and by all the other emails and everything that's going on in the world instead of the person in front of you. And that can happen in our service. We're so focused on the service that we forget the person that we're serving, Jesus Christ. Preachers can get so focused on teaching God's word that they fail to listen to God's word themselves. Some of us start off wanting to serve the kids in church, and there's a great joy in that, but that joy is sucked out as you don't see the results you want to see. Or you joyfully start cleaning the toilets month by month, and you think, I'm better than that, where's all the help? Or you joyfully do hospitality a couple of things, and after a while it becomes a chore, and you begin to grumble. What's happened? Your attitude changes as you're distracted by what everyone else is doing instead of focusing on the reasons you're serving in the first place. You serve not the people around you, but the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's so easy to move from joyful service to grumbling and angry self-pity. It's so easy to get distracted from the real reason we're serving, and that's to glorify Jesus. It's so easy to get bitter in our serving as we take our eyes off Jesus and we start to look at the people in front of us. Self-pity is a killer to joyful, God-glorifying service. That inner thought process that we all have. Why isn't everyone serving? Why don't people notice what I'm doing? Why is so-and-so not serving? Why am I a busy person and nobody seems to care? We focus on the task, we become self-focused, and we take our eyes off Jesus. And that can happen so quickly. Think about Martha. 1 minute, she's welcoming Jesus into her home, verse 38. The next minute, she's angry. Let me be clear again, the problem is not service. It's the attitude behind our service that is important. It's her wrong attitude is revealed in her condemnation of Mary and her dissatisfaction with Jesus. It's the complaining heart, it's the self-righteousness, it's the self-pity, it's the ungodly anger. And here's what we have to assess this morning in our own hearts. What is my heart attitude behind my service? It's so easy in the Christian life to make everything So to make serving in church an idol. And how can you tell if it's an idol? You can tell it's an idol when serving becomes an end in itself instead of a means to glorify Jesus Christ. When the service becomes about my wants, my needs, my desires, rather than serving Jesus Christ. When serving becomes a chore instead of it being a joy. When the delight is sucked out of your service and you forget why you're doing what you're doing in the first place. That's Mary's problem. She's distracted. She's lost focus. Takes us on to our final point. Mary's heart. We see Martha's welcome. We've seen her problem. How does Jesus respond? Look at his response. It's a beautiful response. He says, Martha, 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 you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Firstly, notice that Jesus responds to Martha's anger with gentleness. Whenever he says someone's name twice in the Gospels, he always does it gently and tenderly. He's gentle with her. He doesn't respond with a sharp word. He doesn't get defensive. He is gracious towards her. And notice, Jesus doesn't take sides. He's a skilled surgeon who gets Martha to think through what is going on beneath the surface. Her surface. He knows her heart. Mary is anxious. Mary is troubled by many things. Do you know, whenever someone is angry, or they're snapping, or they're harsh, there's always something else going on beneath the surface, isn't there? The anger is not just a thing that comes out of nowhere. There's always an inner churning going on beneath the surface. And you know, a lot of the time, anger is caused by anxiety in our hearts, insecurities in our hearts, troubles in our hearts, fretting and worrying and getting stressed. But Jesus says to her, to Martha, Mary's chosen the best portion. Mary's chosen the good portion. Notice, Jesus doesn't give Martha another command to keep. He says, look at the picture. Look at this picture of Mary sitting beneath my feet. Come and join her. Can you just imagine Mary again drinking in all the words that Jesus is saying, drinking every parable in, every exposition of the Old Testament? Imagine having a morning with Jesus, the Son of God. She's captivated. And the same is true of our hearts. You don't need to worry this morning. You don't need to fret. You don't need to get anxious about all the tasks that need to get done. They'll get done in its time. The most important thing is that you have a meal with Jesus. That you sit at Jesus' feet and drink in his tender love. The psalmist says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Not the tasks. The tasks are not the strength of your heart. The anxieties are not the strength of your heart. The service is not the strength of your heart. The people getting baptized year by year are not the strength of your heart. Whether people stick in or don't stick in with the Lord is not the strength of your heart. The Lord is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. Here's the problem behind a lot of our joylessness. Below the surface and below our service is an idolatrous thought that God needs me. God needs my service. God needs me to build his kingdom. God needs me to keep this person in the faith. If I don't do this and this and this, this person won't stick in. He needs me in this church. But here's the thing we need to understand, which frees us from this idolatrous thought. God doesn't need you. God can do perfectly well without your service. Acts 17:25 says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. God does not need us, but we desperately need him every day. We are dependent on him for life and breath and everything in it. We're called to serve, but we don't do it because he needs us, but we do it because it's out of a relationship with God himself. To serve others does not mean that we should be so distracted by service that we ignore God. Here's what we all need: Martha hands with Mary's heart. Martha hands with Mary's heart. We serve because we know the wonderful love of our Savior. We serve in response to his grace to us. We serve not because we have to, We serve because we get to. Responsibility and service is not a chain that you put around your neck, but a gift from the Lord. Do you know when the rota comes through for the week and you're like, I'm on Sunday school, I've got to put the chairs away, and you just sigh that sigh of, oh, not me again. It's not my week. It's a gift from the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. The story of Martha and Mary teaches us not to get distracted and concerned with doing stuff for God, that you miss what is most important, your relationship with Him. Even good things like serving can become bad things when they become ultimate things. And so you and I need to watch out in our service that we don't get caught so much in it that we forget to sit at the feet of Jesus. You need to make sure that service in His kingdom doesn't become an idol. You need to know the love of Jesus Christ for you today. You need to hear from Him each day. Don't get distracted by all the other things. Yes, get on with them, but do the first things first. Make sure your heart is right with the Lord every single day. Instead, our service should flow from our love of Jesus Christ. And that love for Jesus Christ flows when we understand His love for us, when we understand His grace towards us, when we understand His mercy towards us. Over and over again, I've met people who are jaded in the ministry or service, and the main reason every time is that they turn service into an idol and forgot to minister out of their relationship with the Lord. The sweetness of knowing Jesus Christ helps there to be a sweetness in our service. And that's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. The very heart of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. The very heart of the gospel is this, that you are not saved by your good works. You're not saved by your service. You're not saved by anything you do. You are saved by God's gracious and merciful work on your behalf through Jesus Christ on the cross. The gospel is the gracious message that He serves us. And in return, we get to serve Him because we love Him, because He first loved us. He gives us His life and He pours out His Spirit so that there might be joy in our service. A guy called John Hinley writes in a book called Serving Without Sinking. I can recommend it highly. He says this, to follow Jesus is not about serving Him. It's not about doing anything for Him. It's about sitting at His feet and listening to Him, the one who's done all we need. It's about being like Mary, not like Martha. Spend time with Jesus. His peace is the cure for our anxiety as we trust Him through the worries of life. His gospel is the cure for our distraction as we focus on Him and let the things of earth grow strangely dim. His love is the cure for our self-pity as we forget ourselves in our service for others. His mercy is the cure for our resentment as we remember His gracious love towards us. Let us come to Jesus again afresh, for He is our portion and He is our inheritance. Do you know what the amazing thing about Mary is? A few months later, Mary gets some expensive oil. She cracks open this flask and she anoints Jesus' feet with this oil. And everyone's complaining to Mary, saying, why are you doing that? You just spent all your money. It could have gone to the poor. Why are you anointing His feet? And Jesus says, because she knows what's coming. She's getting me ready for my burial. Why is she the only one who's able to get it, whereas the apostles don't get it? Why is she the only one who understands Jesus and what He's come to do? Because she sat at Jesus' feet and listened intently to what He had to say. Are you getting it this morning? Are you understanding his gracious love towards you and serving out of that grace that he has given? Listen to Jesus. Sit at his feet. And if you're not a Christian this morning, it's so good to have you here. Here's what I want to say to you as we end. Don't be distracted by the many, many things that are around you, by all the busyness, by all the graft, by the 101 things that are on your to-do list. This is what you need to do today. If you haven't already, get right with God. Get yourself right with the Lord Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't worry about anything else today. Get yourself sorted with Jesus. And he'll be the best friend you'll ever get. Amen.